Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Champagne Sundays with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigGlenMagazine.com.
Welcome, everybody. It is May 9th, 2021, and happy Mother's Day to all moms of all kinds across the country and around the world. You're listening to Big Blend Radio Champagne Sunday Show. We're broadcasting live from sunny and beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. We're your hosts, Nancy Reed and Lisa Smith, the crazy mother-daughter travel team on the Love Your Parks Tour and publishers of Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine and Parks and Travel Magazine. You can see all of it. Just go to BigBlendMagazines.com. And on this episode, we are having a special Champagne Sundays Mother's Day party. We have a lot of great guests joining us. All of them are Big Blend friends. I've heard them on the shows before. We've got some Hollywood history and some awesome music by mom singer-songwriters. And also, just to know, directly following this show, which is a couple hours of party time, we're going to be playing some games and toasting and doing all kinds of good stuff. You can hear our conversation we recently recorded with author Jenny True. She talks about her book, You Look Tired, an excruciatingly honest guide to new parenthood, a totally honest tell-it-like-it-is guide for new moms and parents who don't want any more advice. It is funny. It's a great book, and she's an awesome woman. So hope you stay tuned for that. Of course, you can also listen anytime later. But Nancy, before we get started, I got to give a champagne toast to you for putting up with me for so long, but I'm still really young. I'm still 21.
Oh,
so
yeah,
thank
right.
you for that.
Good.
It's been fun traveling around. It's been adventurous. It's been full of character. And also, I got to say happy birthday because that's about to happen too. So happy Mother's Day to you. Happy birthday. And happy Mother's Day to all moms. So there we go. Oh. Got to start off with the mother. So I got to start off the toast on that because you know what's going to happen to me after the show, right? If you don't.
Well, and you know what? If you're 21, that makes me somewhere in my, well, before I hit 50 for sure. So I'm good with that. Thank you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, because if I'm 21, you're exactly 25 years.
Yeah.
No, not exactly, but you're 25 years older than me. Grandma's 25 years older than you. She's since passed, so may she rest in peace. So if I'm 21, then you are 47.
Okay.
No,
I'll
I can't.
Take it.
46. I can't count. Uh-oh. Dr. Jackie's on the
I'll
show. We're going to get in trouble for champagne today. No, we're allowed to do a little bit. All right. Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to bring some of our first guests on. We've got three rounds of guests joining us, and stay tuned. Okay, so we're going to start the show off in, I believe, England or Scotland, I'm really not sure, with Angela Laws. Angela Laws is a community manager at Trusted House Sitters. You can keep up with them at trustedhousesitters.com. This is an awesome, awesome organization that connects travelers and pet parents with home and pet sitters. And so basically, all of us, including Nancy and I, which are part of this, and we're pet sitting right now in Madison, Wisconsin, with Gus, Mia,
Gus
and
Bucket.
Winston. And three little baby chickens and playing with the plants. And she got us all involved in this almost a year ago on one of our radio parties. And we have loved it. It's been a huge part of our life, and it's been a huge part of the lives of those we've been sitting for. We've watched new people get on the road and have just an amazing experience. So if you are into pets, travel, pet sitting, plants, go check out trustedhousesitters.com. But welcome back, Angela. How are you doing?
Hi, Lisa and Nancy. I'm doing fine, thank you. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody everywhere who's listening. And happy Mother's Day to all you pet mums out there, because pets are family too. And I actually have a glass of champagne here. It's 7 o'clock in the evening and I'm in Scotland and the sun is shining actually, which makes a change because it's been raining like you wouldn't believe. But Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. And you have both become such a huge part of Trusted House Citizens in our community. And all of your, I follow you all the time. And your house sitting and your pet sitting. And I love it when you share your pet pictures, because that's what it's all about. It's all about the pets. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, it is always good to have
you
on the show, and I'm so glad we connected with you. It's really one of the best things we have done on our tour, just, you know, really, honestly, because it gives peace of mind. We get some downtime and just happy, happy joy with animals. Angela, glad you're still in Scotland, but hopefully we'll get to meet with you somewhere along the way as things open up. You know, Trusted House Sitters looks like so many more people are out and travel has started to really open up. A lot of connecting going on more than last year because of COVID. So it seems that things are being more in the positive light.
It really is. And it's such a joy to see our community moving again. And the States is actually coming on, you know, it's coming sort of online, and it's regenerating faster than any other market. We've got so many sits that are coming on in the US, and that means that there are many pet parents that are able to travel again, and that gives sitters great opportunities as well. And it's all about keeping those pets, you know, happy at home. And it's such a joy to see, because yes, 2020 was, I mean, it was like it for everybody. It affected absolutely everybody, and it affected us, but we stayed in there. And one of the reasons that we stayed in there, and one of the reasons that we are so strong, is because of our community. Our members just stay with us. I mean, they love what we do. They love what they do, more importantly. And when you've got a community that's a global one, with as many members we have all around the world that are connected by animals, then that's something really very special.
It's awesome. Well, happy Mommy's Day to you. I know you have Mothering Sunday over on your part of the world, but, you know, I think every day should be Mother's Day. See, I'm getting in my good points. Just saying.
Oh, boy, listen to this.
I hope you're writing this down, Nancy. I hope you've got a
it's all recorded. I'm going to play it every day on the radio on our road trip next. But I want to bring our next guest on, who is traveling Judy. Judy Cohen is a world traveler, a small ship cruising and luxury off the beaten path travel writer. She's written in our magazine. She's been on our radio parties. In fact, Judy was on the show where Angela's first show back in summer last year. Keep up with Judy at travelingjudy.com. That's J-U-D-I. And Judy's not only a human mommy, she's a mommy to a wonderful pup as well. So welcome back, Traveling Judy. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you, Lisa and Nancy, for having me. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there and on the line, and the doggy mothers too. Angela, it was delightful being on the show with you last time. And I'm dying to hear more about your business coming back up around now.
Oh, thanks, Judy. And it's great to connect with you again and with that puppy mum that you are. So thank you.
Judy, you know, happy Mother's Day to you. I know you're close to your family, your mom, your daughter, your son, and you've been really doing a lot in taking care of your mom as well through this whole pandemic. It's been an up and down thing. I know that you've been itchy to be back on the road traveling and wherever you go in the world, exotic places. But let's talk about also, you finally did, you broke away, you got out of Toronto. And, you know, everyone, we're traveling, you know, this whole bringing everybody on is we're doing it like on a map. So we went from Scotland to Toronto, but apparently you hopped the border recently.
I did.
Cool.
We are still in a full lockdown here in Ontario and in Canada. And I made a decision that I was going to go to New York City to see my son and his new wife. My son was married, engaged and married during COVID. I could not be at the wedding, and I haven't seen them, hadn't seen them in 14 months. So I made arrangements. I got on an Air Canada flight, which was fabulous, and arrived in New York City and had the most unbelievable time. For me, it was a reset, seeing life, seeing people carrying on the streets, shops being open, restaurants open. I was able to dine outside. I even went to a concert. I went to see Joan Osborne at the City Winery, which I loved. I just felt I felt recharged again. It was the best thing I did. And I am now in 14 days of quarantine, so I'm not able to go over and see my mother. But I did send her flowers, and I'm with her on the telephone and on FaceTime. But it was a price that was definitely worth incurring for me to see the kids and be back here.
Judy, how was the travel? I mean, how was the journey? Did it get? I mean, was it trouble-free in essence? Great.
Yeah, I mean, it was trouble-free. Departing from Canada, I had to have a COVID test 72 hours in advance. The temperature checks were done on the aircraft. Everything was fine. And on the way back, I flew from New York City to Buffalo and then drove across the border to Canada.
Wow.
It's a bit of monkeying around. But like I say, it was well worth it, and the price that I pay is 14 days of quarantine on my arrival home, and that's perfectly fine with me.
Awesome. So glad. Cool. Everyone, keep up with Traveling Judy at travelingjudy.com. You can also read our articles in Big Bun magazines. And I do have to tell you, I'm really jealous about Joan Osborne. She's one of my favorite singers as a female singer. She's one of my ultimate favorites. Okay, so I want to go down to, we're going to go to Philadelphia to chat with another Canadian friend. This is Lee Brovedani. Lee is known as the Trust Architect and is one of North America's leading experts on trust. She's a speaker. She's an author of a number of books. Her latest one is Trust Me, Restore Belief and Confidence in an Uncertain World. Very timely. And you can keep up with her at LeeBrovedani.com. Also read her articles in Big Bun magazine. Welcome back, Trust Architect. How are you?
I'm good. I've been baking like crazy. And I noticed that you and Nancy had said that when you come back, you expect the full meal deal. And it's going to be done. One of the things that I've done is I've just tapped into my baking gene because, ooh, Judy, like you, I love to travel. And because I had to be here, a lot of times I traveled the world by doing new food.
One second, please. I want to cut in here and just say we do have a heavy breather on the line. I know we don't have any men calling in yet, so I don't know if it's like a ghost dude is like popping in. So I'm just saying someone just may want to move their receiver away from, I don't know, but just for sound's sake, there's funny. A lot of moms on the hot moms on the show.
It's your mother's day. All the excitement out of because I was talking about baking, you know, and that always.
Yes.
Gets everybody heavy breathing.
I don't know. But listen, your baking and your food and your dinner party that you had, you were able to have a dinner party. So all quarantining and vaccinated and all of that to be able to do that?
Well, yeah, because all of us were fully vaccinated. We've had both of our shots. And so we had one other couple that are good friends, also Canadian. So it was the Canadians who are currently living in Philadelphia. So the four of us were able to get together and really just celebrate and maybe drank a little bit too much. And
Dr. Deck is going to get
much
you. Uh-oh, here comes.
It was a great evening. And I also want to wish all of the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And that's all of the moms who are dog and cat and bird and fish moms and everyone who mothers a sentient human being or sentient being, not even human.
Oh, I love that. Well, I think there's a lot of different kinds of moms. An aunt can be a mom. You know, there's, you know, grandmas are mothers for sure. You know, there's just, you know, there's moms for different things. And I know we're going to be delving into some of that later on the show. Even women activists are part of our Hollywood history segment today. Mm-hmm. You know, women who stand up, but they're essentially the mother of those who are being affected from some kind of issue. So I think you're absolutely right with that. And happy Mother's Day to you, Lee. It's so good to have you back on. We're going to go.
Thank you.
to Cincinnati, Ohio to chat with Sarah Ellis. Sarah, we're trying to get there. we're trying to come up and see you. We keep bypassing, same as Lee. Sarah Ellison is the author of Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us. She's a faculty member of the Glasses Institute of Choice Theory. She's a workshop leader and trainer certified in values, realization, and parent effectiveness training. So she can do some parenting to all of us kids so that all moms can have a better mom's day. Keep up with her at sarahelliston.com. Her articles are also in Big Glenn Magazine. But welcome back, Sarah. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, and it's been wonderful listening to Angela and Judy and Lee. I'm also a mother of I have a son and a daughter, and then I have two cats, which probably would benefit from house sitters because I probably don't pay enough attention to them. Happy Mother's Day to all of us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How are you
and
doing?
To you.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on. How's your
thanks.
Health been? Yeah.
I'm getting better. They finally realized that I was holding a lot of fluids, and so I started taking water pills. And I don't know if any of you have done that, but it's quite interesting. But I lost 30 pounds in 3 days.
Wow.
Wow.
So I don't recommend it as the best way to lose weight, but it opened everything up. I had pneumonia around Christmas and had a lot of trouble with oxygen and breathing and stuff. Excuse me, I seem to have a frog in my throat right now, but it opened up everything in my chest, and my heart, and my lungs. So I've been finally, I can work out, I can go to the pool, there's stuff I can do. I still have to use supplemental oxygen, but I've learned how to carry it around so I can get out and do things. Yesterday I got to volunteer at our resale shop at my church for the first time in 18 months. So,
that's awesome.
It's been pretty interesting.
Can I give a natural tip, way to help you with the water thing?
Sure.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yes, I drink it every morning.
Okay,
we got a doctor on the show here.
I'm with honey. I mix it with a little bit of honey, lemon juice, chili pepper, and ginger.
Mm. Wow. That sounds good.
Someone recommended it to me as a morning, so it's the way I start my morning. So, Plus, I take Goli, you know, the Goli vinegar. They're like they're gummy. They're little gummy thingies, and they're
I hear about those gummies
vinegar
out there right now for adults.
Not the kind of gummies I know about.
They used to have apple cider vinegar in them, and I use them. Now my thing about the doctor wants me to continue taking the pills, and I can't take them if I'm going to be going anywhere that day.
I understand that.
I have to sort of keep a stash of clean clothes in every bathroom because I have little accidents all day long.
Wow. And, you know, this is the thing, you know, health, this is all part of it. And so we're on our little road trip. I'm going to zoom right over to Orange County. Then we're going to go to L.A. and then we're going to go to San Diego. When we're talking health, it is important about our moms, you know, and daughters, you know, really, because daughters are moms too. Health is a big part of it, and that's one of the reasons we have Dr. Jackie Ubani back on the show. Dr. Jackie is a board-certified cardiologist, electrophysiologist, and author of the best-selling book Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story. She is working on her second book that has to do with the Mediterranean diet, and I can't wait for her to say hi to Shelley here because Shelley knows about cooking in the Mediterranean diet too. But Dr. Jackie, welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers on the line, as well as all the mother listeners and all the mothers all over the world. I hope you guys are enjoying your day with a 5-ounce glass of wine or maybe a glass of champagne.
5 ounces.
And like you said, Lisa, health is wealth. So your health should be number one so that wealth can come afterwards.
Right.
Dr. Jackie. What Sarah's talking about, Nancy, about apple cider vinegar, I know a lot of people use it, and then they always say, like, medically, this has not been proven. What do you think about that in regards to cleansing your body I mean, at least it's water in there too, right?
Yeah. Like you said, it hasn't been proven medically.
Right.
And as a medical doctor, we only prescribe things that we know have evidence base to either improve your life or improve your quality of life. So unfortunately, I can't speak about vinegar, but I can tell you for heart failure, it's definitely important to cut out all the salt in your diet. A lot of times people have a lot of salt or eat a lot of processed food that have a lot of sodium, and they don't realize that they're consuming a lot of salt. So the most important thing, other than, of course, taking your medications that have been shown in multiple trials to prolong life and to improve your quality of life, other than that, what you can do is, you know, cut out the salt, try not to eat processed foods. Going out to eat can be difficult because you can't control how much salt they're putting in your meals and things like that. So staying away from salt is very important because salt is the reason your body retains water. If your heart's not functioning very well and you're eating a lot of salt, your heart just can't, and your kidneys just can't pump that fluid out. So you continue to retain fluid. So salt is the number one thing you have to cut out of your diet.
No more Cheetos.
I know since we've been on the road, that's why the house and pet sitting has been such a wonderful thing for us, is that we now go back to cooking our food instead of picking up sandwiches
and salads
on the road, which are 90% salt. Sorry, people,
and
but
right.
really.
Yeah,
and
when you're traveling, it's hard, especially during the media stuff. And
Judy,
you know how it is. As you know, media, they're like, try this, try this, try that.
And, you're like,
and you need to learn, don't finish it. Don't finish it.
It's very, very difficult. But I do have a question, though, for Dr. Jackie. Dr. Jackie, how do you know when you are getting to the point of just having too much salt, like before it's too late? What are the signs that tell you?
So some signs we tell our patients to retain fluid is, one, check your weight every day. You should have a rough idea what your dry weight is. You said you lost 30 pounds. So if you know what your dry weight is, if you start gaining more than 5 pounds in a day or two, then you should realize that it's probably water weight. Other things that you can do, that's the earliest sign. But much later, you start to get short of breath and you can't do some of the things that you normally do. You can't sleep at night. You know, you can't lay flat in bed because you feel like you're choking. So those signs come later. But the earlier sign would be water weight gain. So if you can weigh yourself every day so that you'll know when you're, you know, coming up, your weight's going up, then you can tell your doctor. They can increase your Lasix for 1 to 2 days or something and then put you back on the dose that you're on before. Because you don't want to end up in the hospital, like I said. You know, that's
one thing
you want to keep you out of the hospital.
Mm-mm.
So you have to be vigilant about how you feel. Just, you know, vigilant about how you feel. Know how you feel when you have no water in your body. And then you'll, you know, understand when, you know, you start to get fluid buildup, you start to not feel good, and you'll start to recognize that.
Right.
Okay, everyone, thank you. Okay, one
second. I want to bring our next guest on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we got to. we got a short amount of time here. We got Shelly Wizen. She is the soul, well, I was going to say the diva of soul. She is soul diving. See, this is it. I was going to say she's a soul diva. I'm going to get a musician out after me here. But she is the founder and CEO of the Soul Diving Institute, and she's based in Sherman Oaks, California, Southern California, and studies and teaches the art and science of being human. That's what soul diving is about. She's also the author of The Healing Journal, The Story of the Magical Baby Grand Piano, and her latest book is What Do You Bring to the Table? A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life. And I have to say the full book title just so I say yummy, delicious life for her. You can keep up with her at SoulDivingInstitute.com. How are you doing? And happy Mother's Day, Shelley.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we talked about having a show. It's such a beautiful homage to mothers. And, you know, there's one thing that we have in common, being human. Each and every one of us has a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a mother. And so to pay honor to mothers is, even if we're not, you know, if we don't have children of our own, but it doesn't mean that you're not a mother. We mother mm-hmm. ourselves every day, every way, and sometimes we need better mothering, just like you're talking about health-wise. And I'm so grateful to be a mother. I'm grateful to be a grandmother, and I've learned a lot from being a daughter and what, how to be and how not to be. So,
and she knows how to cook.
I love it. I did learn that from my mother. So I learned how to cook and clean from my mother. So
yeah, and healthy, right? The latest recipe we have featured up on blendradioandtv.com is Shelley's a Mediterranean salad. See, I'm just saying that, Dr. Jackie. You know, Shelley's got healthy recipes.
I have some healthy recipes. I fess that that some of the recipes are not so healthy, but like I made up this garlic bread grilled cheese sandwich one night taking care of my grandchildren, and it was definitely not healthy, but it was so
good.
They loved it.
Sounds good. You've got garlic
they
in there.
That's
good.
They loved it. Yes. It was like having garlic bread, but on the outside, but having grilled cheese on the inside. It was like everything you could possibly want.
Oh my gosh, with a glass of Pinot Noir. I love that.
Exactly.
You must have the best one.
I know. I'm like, ooh, yummy. Now, I want to bring our guest, Margo Carrera. She's out of San Diego. In fact, that's where we met her. And Margo knows us from the very beginning. back in 1997 when we started our magazine as a print publication in San Diego, North San Diego. And you can keep up with Margo. She's an amazing fine art and nature photographer. She has all kinds of gifts that you can purchase, prints. You can buy metal prints, her photography on metal plates. You can buy scarves. You can get all kinds of gifts. And you go to CarreraFineArtGallery.com. And lately she's painting too, which has been amazing to watch her every single day with her art. So welcome back, Margo. How are you?
Well, hi, everyone. It's been so wonderful listening to all of you. I want to wish everybody, as everybody else did, a happy Mother's Day. And I'm doing great. It's been an interesting year, as everybody else has had, especially for artists, I want to say. We're used to going to art shows, gift shows, showing our work in galleries, and all that shut down. So that's how I ended up doing painting. I couldn't even go out and photograph for a while here in San Diego. They shut all the parks down, which they complained, and that didn't last very long. But because we really needed all of us to be outside in nature going through this period, And so I couldn't take my pictures, so I took my photographs and I started painting them.
Awesome.
And teaching myself how to do watercolor painting, and I've had a blast and shared my journey on Facebook.
Awesome.
Even the bad
cool.
ones, the real bad ones.
Oh, I love the bluebird is my favorite so far. I'm really enjoy watching that, and I do want to say happy Mother's Day to you because I know you're a mom. But also, you do so much. You are, the environmental activist. You stand up for Mother Nature in all that you do. So I just want to let people know that about Margo. Really awesome what you do. You're always active, and you're not fearful to share your voice. And I think that's something, too, about moms. You know, moms know how to share their voice, and you will listen, and that's that.
That's right.
That's
and
how
don't
it works.
You forget it.
Right. So, ladies, what we're going to do is we're going to play Champagne Toast Time, go around the room, the virtual room here, and everyone give a champagne toast, maybe about a mother or a mother figure or memory or whatever you want to do, and whoever or whatever you want to toast. And then we're going to play our word game, play some music, and then we'll continue on with more guests. And some of you are staying on with us, which we're excited about, too. So let's start with the champagne toast. And Nancy, you started the champagne toast. This is our family tradition. And no, there's a lot of people in the world who do not drink champagne, do not drink wine or any alcoholic spirits. And really the whole thing is about gratitude and happiness and looking at what is positive in the world. Even during the pandemic and so much that has gone on in the year, there are still good things to, be happy about. So that's what it's all about. So this has been even our flagship show is Champagne Sundays. We thought if we're going to do a radio show, we're going to do it on our Champagne Sunday so that we share that sentiment. So Nancy, what is your toast today?
Okay, I'm going to do this in the form of a short poem that I found. It's called The Month of May, and we don't know who wrote it, and I'm not telling. This is for all the moms out there, for all the diapers that you've changed, for all the play dates you arranged, for all the trips back and forth to school, for cleaning up all the spit up in the drool. Why is there only one Mother's Day? You should have at least gotten the entire month of May. Happy Mother's Day.
I love that. Yeah,
I love that. That's funny. Oh, man.
So
I think it
should be the whole month.
Yeah, you just wanted to remind us about the diapers, didn't you? That's really what it's about.
I wonder if any mother ever counted the number of diapers just one baby uses.
That's a good one.
I don't think you want to.
Well, I think you have to now because you have to put it in your budget.
Oh, there it is. That's true, too.
You're only allowed 3 diaper changes a day, baby. That's it.
Okay, that's it. Oh, that's diaper rash coming through. Angela, what is your champagne toast?
I just have to say that I've actually changed 6 today, and that I'm a new grandmother, and my granddaughter is my first and only granddaughter, and she's now 8-9 months old, and I just want to give a toast to all of the mums and the grandmums out there and all of the connections and the support that we give to each other and everybody else, and of course as well all the pet mums out there as well, because you know, we're, the animals are actually family too. They're part of us.
Absolutely.
And they give us so much. They give us unconditional love, and they don't have a voice or a choice, and we are their voices and their choices. And so to everybody and to any new grandmums out there, I just had my granddaughter today for the day, and I looked after her a lot since she was born, and I tell you, puppies are easier.
I'm going to agree with you with that. Lovely, lovely. Judy, who are you and what are you toasting to?
Well, I'm toasting. First of all, I'd recommend that Mother's Day be every day.
Yes.
Because mothers are so deserving and have earned it every single day. But I would like to toast all of the mothers, all of the grandmothers, all of the sisters, the aunts, doggy moms, and everybody else for adding so much brightness to my life during a very tough year, and watching my own mother. I'd like to toast my mother for her strength and her determination and her absolute grit in living through lockdown for 10 months of this year without seeing a person, and yet being able to smile and share her love and tell all of us how much she loves us. So I'm toasting my 94-year-old mother this year in particular, and my daughter for keeping me down.
Cool. Awesome. Amazing. Lee, what is your toast?
So my toast is to all of the friends that have been there to support, because all of us who are mothers know that there's times when you think, or at least I sure have, am I going to get through this? Mm-hmm. And so all of the support from the friends who have said, yes, you can, and you're going to live through it, and everything's going to be okay. So it's to all of the moms and all of the mothers' friends who have helped them get through motherhood.
Mm, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Cool.
Sarah, what is your toast?
I was going to say, I was going to champagne toast my own mother, who is passed, because she taught me how to write. But I've been sitting here reflecting as you all are talking, and I'm thinking, I have 3 women in my life who have been, quote, mothering me since November, since I got out of the hospital. And because none of my family, my physical family, lives nearby. And it's just been heavenly. You know, one of my friends, Althea, she comes over and makes me walk every day. I mean, she literally picks me up by the scruff of the neck and says, "You will walk today." And I go, "I don't want to. Just stop griping. Just come on." You know, it's just, and then another one has been cooking for me, and a third one has helped me in a number of, you know, moments of crisis when I've just been sitting here in tears saying, "I can't do all these things of oxygen and this is and that's is." And so I'm, my champagne toast is to those women who have mothered me and who mother others, and of course helping mothers is very important.
I love that. I love that. And I think it does take a community. Dr. Jackie, you talk about this on a show all the time. We talk about our one-hour walks and getting out there and doing it, that having a community really helps stay on track in health.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome, Sarah. That is really cool. Dr. Jackie, what is your toast?
So my toast is a little bit different, but I want to give a toast out to our successful vaccine program that we've had in this country, the fact that we've been able to successfully fully vaccinate over 100,000 people, almost 150,000 people in this country. We're well on our way to herd immunity, and this will allow all the mothers and the sisters and the aunts who haven't seen each other during this whole quarantine time to finally be able to see your family members and maybe celebrate Mother's Day together. So my toast is to family, mothers, and celebrating together in person.
Awesome. Awesome. Shelley, what is your toast?
My toast is to my beautiful daughter, Sarah, to my beautiful grandchildren, and to my son-in-law, who actually, as he fathers them, he also mothers them. And it's a, I have had the privilege of having my entire family stay with me for the past 2 months in my two-bedroom apartment. And my bedroom has become the sleeping quarters for me and my three grandchildren, who are 15-year-old twins, a boy and a girl, and an 11-year-old. And the girl, I have blow-up mattresses on the floor, and the girls get to switch off who gets to sleep with me. And this time has been so precious, because to me, time is what we have. We never know when that last breath is going to come. And to be able to savor each and every moment with my beautiful daughter, my beautiful grandchildren, my beautiful son-in-law, who are moving next week, and I'm crying every day. And I just want to, God bless them. I want to bless them in their lives, bless them so that they learn kindness and thoughtfulness and consideration and love. And just bring love. And I want to toast to mothers that love, because we all have a mother, as I said, and we come from love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Love is the greatest form of energy of creation that there could possibly be. Otherwise, we wouldn't be bearing a whole other human being inside of us. So God bless mothers. God bless puppy mothers, cat mothers, pet mothers, bird mothers, every mother in the whole world, mothers to ourselves.
Awesome. Awesome. Margo, what is your toast?
Okay, well, I have an interesting toast. And I'll toast to the grandmothers and the ancestors and how they've affected who we are today. You know, just in my family line, I've had ancestors who were brave, and they came across from, on ships to immigrate to the United States to save their families. And they came across, the next generation came across on covered wagons. And imagine, you know, doing that and the bravery and the strength it took those mothers. In fact, that particular mother had my grandmother as a baby when she went across the country. And she she came across a tribe of Indians that wanted to trade papooses.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, but she didn't. But the whole family went on to honor and take care of that tribe. And today I still honor them in the work that they do. They're the Lakota from South Dakota. Yeah, and I honor and do activist work for them against the oil line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Standing Rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then my mother came along and she was a way shower. She opened the doors and showed that women could become doctors. She was one of the first women doctors in our country, and she was often told that she was taking a man's place, and she said, you know, that she would just end up, you know, being a mom and not doing anything. But she did both, and now we have women doctors. Are commonplace, and we're blessed to have them because they're nurturing souls. And doctors are both men and women, you know, have that nurturing quality, at least hopefully. and so I honor our ancestors. They shape who we are. My mother shaped me by taking me to gardens all the time and teaching me gardening around the house, and that brought my great love for nature, and that affected my life, and also the bravery, because now I don't I've been facing 4-stage cancer for years, and I'm still here. It's been 18 years since I had the first bout. So I'm here to show that we don't, you know, we're not going to succumb to these things, that we can overcome them and move through them. And if we nurture and take care of ourselves, and I'm still here, and every day I'm blessed. I feel blessed by my children, and I'm about to be a new grandmother. The lessons go on, the bravery goes on, and the strength and knowing that we can endure and move through things have been passed down.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I know that some of our guests have to leave, and Margo, it's really touching with your toast to motherhood of all these generations. In our next segment, we will be touching, really focusing a lot about family history as well. So stay tuned. We're going to be playing music from Shelly King. Kick Up Your Heels. Shelly King's an awesome mom out of Austin, Texas. She's one of the first ladies of music of Austin and Texas, so we'll be playing that. But right now we want to say goodbye to Dr. Jackie Obani. How's that for women doctors, right, Dr. Jackie?
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Enjoy your Mother's Day. Thank you, Dr. Jackie. Keep up with her at womenandheartdiseasebook.com. We also want to say goodbye to Sarah Ellison over in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you can keep up with her. Her book is Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us. You can keep up with her at sarahelliston.com. Thanks so much, Sarah, for joining us.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. This has been fun. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
And also Lee Brovedani, the trust architect out of Philadelphia. You can keep up with her. Her latest book is Trust Me, Restore Belief and Confidence in an Uncertain World. I laugh every time I hear that title and see the title because I'm just like, it's so perfect. So go to LeeBrovedani.com. Thanks so much for joining us, Lee. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Nancy. And nice to meet everybody.
Nice to meet you, too, Lee.
Take care. Now, all the other ladies are going to stay on the show, and you're going to meet Glenn Burrows over in England, and stay tuned because we're going to play, here it is, Kick Up Your Heels. This is, again, from Shelly King over in Austin, Texas, and it's the title track to her latest album. You can keep up with her at shellyking.com, and just in a little bit, we'll bring Glenn on the show.
You never wanna dance
You're listening to Big Blend Radio's Champagne Sundays Mother's Day Party with Nancy and Lisa, airing live from Madison, Wisconsin. And you just heard Kick Up Your Heels. It is the latest track or album title from Shelly King out in Austin, Texas. She's a mom, and happy Mother's Day to Shelly King. She rocks. Keep up with
That's
her at ShellyKing.com.
Cool.
I know. She's so cool.
Party.
This is the second part of our party. We're running late on time, but we'll make it all work. And very excited to go back over the pond to bring one of our favorite friends on the show, Glenn Burrows. He is a family history expert and owner of Norfolk Tours in Norfolk, England. And you can keep up with him at norfolk-tours.co.uk. Welcome back, Glenn. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks. How are you, girls?
We're doing good. I want to introduce you to some more girls. We've got some other ladies that are staying on the party with us. Now, over not far from you in Scotland, I know how you get along with Scotland, England and Scotland. I'm just kidding. We've got Angela Laws, who's the community manager of Trusted House Sitters. Angela, how are you doing? Having fun?
Well, yeah, it's great. Hi, Glenn. I'm not a native of Scotland, and I actually used to live in Norwich, so I know Norfolk very
well. Oh, well, there you go.
Cool.
There you go.
Good, yeah. You haven't got much of a Scottish accent, have you?
No, I haven't. Actually, I'm also Canadian. I mean, my heart home is Canada and BC, but, yeah, I lived in Norwich for many years, and, in fact, my husband is actually from Norwich, so... We know Norfolk very well. So, yeah, great to meet you.
Hey.
And you. And all the best men come from Norfolk, you know.
I'm not going to get into that one.
But Glenn, what's your nickname? Tell everybody your nickname, because don't you have a Norfolk nickname?
Well, yeah, I'm a Norfolk dumpling.
It's a dumpling. It's cute.
Yeah,
cool.
I know that one.
There it is. See, now listen, you're talking about Canadian stuff too now. You know, Nancy and I have got a new thing,
Canada.
And Leaprova Danny, who was just on, and you're part Canadian, Glenn. We're part Canadian too, Nancy and I, French Canadian,
mm-hmm.
apparently. And we're all into Canadian humor now, and we do have a Canadian on the show. We've got Judy Cohen. Judy's in Toronto. How are you, Judy? Having fun yet?
I'm really well, and I met Glenn before on one of our
yes.
other shows.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I really love Canada. I mean, I love Toronto because my relations live in Toronto, but we did go across to BC when I was over there in, 2015, I think it was. It was a lovely country.
We'll be happy
yeah.
to welcome you back as soon as
I can't wait.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, we're going. If Glenn's going, we're going. We're coming. We're going
Great.
With Glenn.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That's it. We've got to meet Glenn. Over all these years,
yeah.
I know Zoom meetings, Facebook chat, radio shows. We've got to meet Glenn and his wife, and we want Diane, his wife, scones, the cheese scones,
yes.
and we do have to have our Mr. Whippy with him. You know, the little ice cream with the little chocolate flake. You know, I want that. So, yeah. So, please, I know it's not, you know, Mothering Sunday. I know you've already had that. Please say Happy Mother's Day to Diane for us too. That's important. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to introduce you to Shelly Wizen. We call her the Diva of Soul Diving. She is here too. She's the founder of the Soul Diving Institute. She's in California. Shelly, please meet Glenn over in England.
Hi, Glenn. Hi there.
Hey.
So nice to meet you.
And you too.
Thank you so much for having me here again with you guys. It's just fun to play and to talk about different topics, and I love talking about mothers and what mothers create and all that good stuff and how we all have one. And so
this is cool.
Yeah.
Shelly, you've traveled a lot as well around the world. Have you been to England?
I have been to England, and I have not been to Ireland or Scotland, but I did do a workshop once in England, and there were some Scottish and Irish people there in our groups, and they were trying to explain something to me in quote English, but I didn't understand what they said.
Wow. See, that can happen. That happened
yeah.
to me when I went to school
that
in England.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, the
Geordies.
I had a hard time.
I don't understand half of them either. That's one of the beautiful things about the world is all of these different languages and all of
mm-hmm.
these different.
Yeah,
languages.
Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
just a mishmash.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to bring Margot Carrera back on, fine art nature photographer. Margot, you've traveled the world, and you know you were talking about doctors, and your husband Jorge is a doctor too. Have you been to England? And meet Glenn.
Yeah. I have. Hi, Glenn. Nice to meet
Hello,
you.
Hello there. Hello. And you.
I've had the pleasure of going twice, once when I was 16, on my first photography tour, actually.
Wow.
And thought it was beautiful, especially the countryside. And, and then recently, when I went on a trip to Ireland, I went to England as well.
Wow, see? So everyone here has been to England, Glenn. You've got to feel quite cozy now.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
well,
if
yes.
you're feeling cozy, what is your champagne toast today?
Well, I think Mother's Day is a very special day for a lot of people. But I would toast all the mothers who have lost children because
–
there's a lot of mothers who are celebrating, but there's also a lot of mothers who are probably having a few tears. So I would like to remember that not everybody is as fortunate to keep their children. So I would like to toast them ladies.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful.
Absolutely true, Glenn. And there's, you know, I know moms who've lost their children to suicide and...
Yeah,
that's probably one of the hardest. And
mm-hmm.
you know, you're absolutely right. It's that bond, you know, with your children, and it can get rocky, you know, it can. But you've got to move around and get it back together. And I think that's something, you know, Mother's Day, like we said earlier, should be every day. Mothers should be celebrated every day because you are here for. And whether or not there are mothers separated from their children, various reasons, but.
Yeah.
You're here from them. And Glenn, your story, your latest article up on blendradioandtv.com, if you go right on the homepage, everyone, you'll see Glenn's story about, you know, digging up the history of his two great-great-great-great-grandmothers and how they are complete opposites in some ways.
Yes.
But you're here because of them. And so whatever your feelings are about them, you're still here. But if there is a way to unite, I think sometimes Mother's Day and holidays are a reminder that
mm-hmm.
you do need to pick up the phone. You do need to send flowers. You do need to kind of regroup with what's going on. And maybe this year of the pandemic also helped kind of remind us all about what our true needs are in life. You know?
Well, let's hope this program will, if there's anybody listening who hasn't spoken to their mum for a couple of years, to pick up the phone and just say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's one person. Just imagine if one person did that, how that would change their life to
mm-hmm.
reconnect to their family, you know? So I think that's something that we all need to think about, that not every mother has got their children around them today, whether they've
that's
left
right.
or whether they've lost them, you know?
Exactly. Glenn, your article, it talk about your grandmother's, Margot, your toast was about, you know, the generations before you. Judy, your family history is pretty deep too on your mother's side and going, you know, back in your history. You've talked about that on previous shows too. Angela, we haven't dug into your family history yet. Now, come on, what's in that closet?
I think there's somewhat of a mystery, lots of mysteries. I come from, you know, those generations where nobody ever talked about their family. And I have that within my family without going too deep. So a lot of it is absolute mystery because it was never talked about. And it was just one of those things. Nobody ever sat down and had these, not like we do now. We just never had those conversations. So there was as much I didn't know as what I did know, and I still don't know. So it's really interesting. And watching programs on the television that go into this, you know, and long lost families and things like that, and going in and finding those. Yeah, it's not something that I've ever done, but I'm sure one of these days I might find a few either skeletons or surprises, one of the two.
Probably
you will.
You know, just going into my past, my parents were both Holocaust survivors, and they never spoke about their past. They never talked about anything as I was growing up. And then all of a sudden, when I had children, they felt it important for them to begin to tell their story. And at the same time, Steven Spielberg was filming Survivors of the Holocaust, and my mother told her story over the course of 6 hours, and that's where I found everything out that I did not know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Glenn, you got to comment on that one. I mean, this is you do this every day. You bring people, they come over to England.
Yeah.
You help them with their family history, but your history's taken you to Canada, literally. But like this, you find these things out because it is that era of, you even talk about that in your recent article about like one side people will talk about, the other side, well, not so much.
Yes.
Because one was in the prison.
I mean, sometimes it is just too painful for people to talk about. I mean, I remember there was a man in the village next to where I was brought up, and I went to school with his daughter. You know, I knew them from primary school, you know, and I didn't realize until he died that he was actually a Japanese prisoner of war. Because he didn't talk about it. He didn't even talk about it to his daughter. You know, because I said to her afterwards, I said, I didn't realize your dad was you know, a Far Eastern prisoner of war. And she said he never spoke about it. It was too much. And, you know, especially with people like in the Holocaust and that, you know, and the people who were in Japanese prisoner of war camps, I think probably the way they dealt with it, a lot of these people, is just to close it up, to lock it in a cupboard in their brain, because it's just too awful to even imagine, you know.
Yeah.
And now the stories are coming out, you know, it just makes you wonder. I mean, sometimes I wonder what the human brain, the human person, can actually go through.
Yeah.
Some of the horrific things that I hear about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes you wonder that you could ever get through. And then, you know, when I think to myself, you know, if one day I'm feeling sorry for myself, and as we say, you know, I'm sitting on my pity pot, you know, all I have to do is think about them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yeah.
I
That's
can sit
one.
On my pity pot and actually all I've got to do is think about this old boy who spent several years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and I couldn't put up with that. I couldn't. Well, I would, because obviously
you don't have a choice.
But,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But people can actually go through amazing things and get out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, and women as well. You know, I'm not just saying men. You know, a lot of women were in these Japanese camps as well. You know, a lot of women who were in Singapore and that, they were all rounded up and put in camps, and they got through it as well. But, you know, it is amazing what we can get through as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, what would you say for, you know, these kinds of stories? And Margot's story is incredible, too. I mean, you know, to get started, like Angela, how can we get that information, especially if your ancestors have kept quiet about it? And, you know, it's like, don't talk about this at the dinner table. You know, you find out things later because someone's done so much digging. But what's the first thing to start doing? I mean, Mother's Day to me, you know, people are together, maybe start asking questions or give Aunt Sally a little glass of wine and let her loosen up.
Well, you may laugh, but, you know, great Aunt Sally is the person to speak to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows when great Aunt Sally isn't going to be there anymore. You know, you have to speak to your older relations and just talk to them about general life and stuff. You know, don't go there necessarily to start off with a list of questions, but, you know, just sort of ask them where they grew up, where they went to school, things like that. And once you sort of get to talking to them about general things, then they've normally got a drawer in a cupboard somewhere with old photographs and you know, get them to show you their old photos and make sure you take a soft pencil with you and write the names on the back of the photographs, because everyone's going to forget. You know, but it is generally just talking to people and either make notes as you're there or make notes afterwards, but, you know, try and write down as much as you can from the people. But even if you've got no great Aunt Sally or great Uncle Fred, it's amazing what most people have got in their own minds. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and actually I've got inherited memory back to the late 19th century. Because, you know, I'm 62, so I was talking to people when I was a child who were probably born about 1900, but some of the people I were talking to were born in the 1880s. So there's one particular elderly lady who I remember really well who died when I was about 17, but I remember talking to her and she was born in 1886. So, you know, I've got memories that go back to the late 19th century. They're not my memories, but they're an inherited memory. And my grandmother, who was born in 1908, she was telling me things about what happened to her in 1920s, you know. So I've got an inherited memory, quite a strong inherited memory going back to the 1920s. So it's amazing. If you think about it, if I now talk to my parents, luckily for me, both my parents are still alive. So my mum's 84, my dad's 87. So, I mean, my dad has got a fantastic memory about the Second World War, different people he knew when he was working on the farm. Well, those people who he worked with on the farm were probably born in the 1860s. You know? So you've just got to think that if you talk to someone who is in their 80s, they might remember what their granddad told them when they were sitting on his knee, you know, in 1940, about what happened to him in the 1890s. You know, so it is all about talking to people and just making notes about their memories. The one big thing you've all got to remember is the older we get, the more forgetful we get. Or if we don't want to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, we might embroider things. So, you know, we just have to be very aware and we need to cross-reference with documents. But as soon as you've got the basic bones of a family history, it's then that you can start looking at the records. And the thing to remember is the records are not going to go away, but, you know, Great Uncle Fred is. So talk to Great Uncle Fred as soon as you can, because the records are still going to be there next week.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Shelley, too, because Shelley, I know you've traveled, and I do want to touch base with you and Marco, because I also believe there's the family history you can get, Glenn, by talking to your family, you know, everything you're doing. Yeah. But I also think that there's this, and I'm going to get woo-woo, just giving everybody a big warning. It's like, yeah, I'm almost done with my glass of champagne here, so it's happening.
Oh, dear.
But
I know.
Everybody get on the ship. Here we go. There's a magic carpet ride coming up. No, but really, when you travel a lot, there are places that you end up that you have this incredible bond to the place. And then Nancy and I, over years, have found out that we've had relatives there we had no idea about, especially like Nancy's lineage of grandmother's side, father. Actually, it's all over the map with us. We're weird. But and cool weird. It's interesting weird anyway. But when you go to a place, you do have this interesting feeling. And sometimes I wonder if it's like, I don't know, maybe it's a past life. So that's my woo-woo side on it. But I believe that there's going to be rich ancestry that we don't know. Now, Margot, you had an incredible experience in Peru. And I wonder about that maybe connecting back to your heritage. And I know, Shelley, you've been to Peru as well. And definitely there's something that happened with the two of you in Peru, but you don't know each other. But I'm just going to say you need to connect on this. Because I think this is another level also of family history, that there's a feeling. Yeah. I know, Glenn, you witness it, right? When you take people around, they can feel that feeling.
Definitely.
But sometimes you can feel it without knowing. Do you know what I mean? Margo, let's start with you on this. Do you know what I mean, right?
I do know what you mean, and interesting enough, there's
I don't know if it's all ancestral, and I'm going to say I don't know for sure that there's past lives, but it feels like mm-hmm. there is. And when I went to Peru, well, I had amazing things happen there, even with people that weren't other than myself. But for myself, I felt when I got to Machu Picchu, I felt like that was a past home of mine. And I felt so connected, and I felt so much love. And the shamans took me in, and they wanted to teach me, and they actually made me a member of their group, honorary member of their group. And so they must have felt a connection. And the sweetest thing is my husband's Peruvian, and when he first met me, when I first walked in the room at college, he had deja vu, and he said, "She's the one, and I've seen her in a vision before." So there's connections, and I don't know if they're all ancestral, but they could be also past life. Yeah, and one woman I took up to Peru, she was in her 70s, all the shamans knew her when she arrived, and they said that she was like one of the she was the ancestor of the Incas. She was like, we would call a queen. She was, and they took her, they wanted to take her to her palace, and they took her, and she touched the fence, and she had visions of what happened in that lifetime. And that was amazing. And so, yes, I could say yes.
That's wild.
That's
wild.
Weird.
I mean, anyone tuning in now is going to go like, what the heck? But it's true. I mean, you have these feelings. I mean, you talk about past lives. Nancy, you took hypnotism class, and she took classes with Sylvester Stallone in the same room.
Yeah, that was cool.
You know. Yeah, you did that, and you had a vision. You were a Bantu boy, and then you didn't know you wanted to go to Africa, but then you ended up in Africa.
Well, the doctor would hypnotize you if you were willing, and take you into what he called your memory of your past lives. And I had this thing about I had to go to Africa no matter what. I had to go, and my mind was, because I'm a wildlife artist, and I wanted to see wildlife not in a zoo. Yeah, and I wanted to see African wildlife. So that was my take on it. But he said, no, you actually were in Africa years, like eons ago. And apparently I was a Bantu, and I was not a woman. I was an 11-year-old boy. So there you go. And I'm like, okay.
But she ended up in Africa. She ended up in Africa teaching, going into
in Africa.
Teaching about not killing lions, going into muddy huts, trying to put a projector with a photo of a lion, explain about
fun.
Not killing, and somebody threw a spear at the lion in the muddy hut.
Right through the screen. That was fun.
But so, I mean, it's kind of interesting how it all goes around. But Shelley, what about, I know Glenn, you're going to think we're totally off our rocker yet, right? Are we okay yet? Because we haven't started with Shelley on this. You know, Glenn is
going to get started. I'll tell you my bit later.
Okay, because there is something about this connectivity that I don't think we can all explain, because we're still human-bound, but Shelley, yeah?
Deja vu, that feeling of you've been here before.
Yes. Well, Margo, I like you studied with shaman in Peru, and I was fortunate enough to do all-night ceremonies in Machu Picchu and all the power centers of Peru in 1986, so I know where nobody's able to do that anymore, but we were very fortunate. And I remember going, I think it was in the Temple of the Moon, and I felt a presence in the crystal cave where the great-grandmother came and welcomed me home, and I just started to cry like crazy, just bawl like a child, for the first time feeling welcomed, feeling at home. And I think it was in that same place that the shaman everybody was doing a vision quest, and the shaman just came over to me and laid his head into my lap, and I stroked him like a mother would a child. And it was, there was so much energy and so much love that was pouring through me that I felt as if I was planet Earth and I was the Mother Earth. And when I got into the bus, all of his apprentices came into the back of the bus and just held me, and like we were like kittens. They were just all over me, clamoring onto me. So there is an energetic, I think, legacy that goes through the cosmos that, whether we call it, you know, reincarnation or whatever, we cannot stop consciousness from spreading it because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And being a deaf midwife, I relate to you so much, Glenn, in what you're talking about family history, because I do a training where it's a 3-day immersion into your notions of death and dying. And one of the most beautiful things that we teach is to speak to somebody and ask them to go through a life review, something just like what you're talking about, so that they feel like their life mattered at the end of their life. And sometimes people don't feel that way. And the way that they do feel that way is when they begin to tell the stories of their life that fill them up with joy. Mm. And it's a beautiful way to bring that out in them. And I, too, my adopted father is, I say adopted because I've known him since I was 13. He was also a Holocaust survivor. And he didn't tell his family about anything for many years and then became a speaker at the Museum of Tolerance. And he's still living, thank God. He's 96 years old, and he's still living and wanting to tell his story. You can find his story, I think, on Facebook, Albert Rosa. Anyway, so many ways of honoring mothers, so many ways of honoring. I love what you said, inherited memories. I love that so much because that's what we do when we share our lives and pieces of our lives. And what else do we have to do? What else are we doing here but not sharing who we are and our experiences and our woo-woo-ness and everything else? And what the hell else is it about? Yeah. I mean, really. Your love, you share all that. Yeah.
I want to ask Angela, can we do a pet sit in Peru? I know that I've actually seen Peru. I'm just saying.
We have had them in Peru. We've had them a lot in South America and Ecuador and yes, I mean, I'm sure. But listening to everybody talking about, you know, where you feel connected to, my connection is so strong for Canada. I can't tell you the moment that I went there in the 70s when I first landed and I went to that country. I never understood people when they said that they were homesick for a place. I couldn't get that. I would think that people make the places. You don't that. And it wasn't until I went to Canada and I know what being homesick for somewhere means. I have an ache for that country. And Lake Louise is one of the places that is so special to me. And also when I'm at the top of the mountain, I lived in Vancouver, and I would go up to Whistler, and I'd go to the top of Blackcomb and the top of Whistler Mountain and stand there and look at the vista and in the distance, and it was just a carpet of mountains. And I would drive from Vancouver through to Edmonton, and I would do that drive on my own, and it was like 1,000 miles, and I would do it, and I would, every corner I went round, I would go, wow, and I would feel, and Canada to me is home, and I was born in the UK, but I, when I land there, I'm it's this feeling that I'm home, and when I leave, I cry, and so that connection, it's where does that come from? Where, if I went back, was that where I was originally? Who knows? I don't know.
Or you have a family member that you don't know about that is part of you that used to live there.
I mean, whatever it is, I mean, the pull for me is so strong that I just want to go home. And I call it home. So it's, but and I've lived all over the world, but that is just the place for me. That is home.
Yeah. Wow. Glenn, is that something that sounds real familiar to you, all of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, many times over. I mean, one of the ones that I really always remember is I took a lady to Ipswich, which is on the east coast of Suffolk. And that was where her ancestors had sailed from in about 1633, I think it was. And we stood at the on the quayside, which obviously was not the quayside that was there in 1633. But she said to me, she said, I just want to wish them a safe journey. And I thought, that sounds all right, okay. You know, and we stood on the quayside and she waved them off and wished them a safe journey. And although I couldn't see it really, but in my head, I could actually see this little sailing boat sailing away in the distance, this, you know, 1630s type of sailing boat. And the hairs on the back of my neck stood up.
Wow.
And I felt totally emotional. It was it was a real, real strange thing. It's nothing to do with me. It was all her. But the emotion that was there was unbelievable. I mean, in another time, there was a lady came over from Australia. And she knew that her granddad was born in King's Lynn, but she didn't know where. I was able to find out the exact address where he was born. And I took her to the spot. Sadly, the house had been demolished. But I took her to the spot and we stood on the pavement just outside where this cottage used to stand and she stood and cried. Well, that is emotion. And where does emotion come from? You know, that's another thing, isn't it? What is emotion? Why standing on a pavement would suddenly bring this real, and I mean real tangible emotion? You know, she's not standing by a grave. She's not standing in front of anybody. She's standing in front of a modern building on a street. Yet,
yeah, where
she
did that come
so
from?
Connected. What is it? And also, you know, when anyone says, oh, God, in that place got a terrible atmosphere. What's an atmosphere? Why can we feel sometimes that an atmosphere is what we say in England is sliceable? You know, you could slice through the atmosphere in a room. Why? What is it? What is an atmosphere? But we all know what an atmosphere is, don't we?
And
it's really, really, really strange. But for me, I mean, I go into churches that are 1,000 years old, nearly not every day of the week, but, you know, quite often. And I always feel that feeling that that place has been really special for a long while, and I always get a connection. It is tangible. It's tastable. I know it sounds really silly, but you can almost taste it. That there is 1,000 years of people going there and praying or whatever. What is? It's not because it's a church or anything. It's because it's been special for a long while, and I can get that even if I go to a Bronze Age burial mound, you know, that's like 3,000 years old and that's just a heap of nothing in the field. You still get that, wow. And I still don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
But it's
see,
real.
We did good. I got you all on the woo-woo train, man. I'm good at that.
No,
I think it's just that there's always a connection from generation to generation, and some of us feel it if we take the time to let ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really woo-woo. It's just because we can't scientifically explain it.
You cannot scientifically explain an atmosphere, can you?
Yeah,
what is an atmosphere?
Right. Yeah,
but we all know. We can all walk into a room and think, "Woohoo! You know, what have I done wrong?"
Exactly.
I can walk in the other. I can walk in the living room where my wife was watching the telly, and if I've done something wrong, I know I've done something wrong. She doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So where did that come from?
I have Nancy for that. Real quick, I just want to bring Steve Schneikert, our Hollywood historian, onto the line. He's been waiting, and our timing is off. And I know Judy and Glenn, you both have to go. But Steve, I know, wants to say hi to you. Welcome, Steve. Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, you guys. Hey, Glenn. Always good to hear your voice and your story. Yes. I love that.
Yeah. So I had to bring you on. I couldn't keep you
waiting
there.
And I love the woo-woo.
You love the woo-woo. Yeah, I mean, this is it is family history. Yeah, I know. I know that, Judy, I know you. I everyone, tell me on your timing. So if you have to go, raise your hand that I can't see. Here, I'm trying to keep everybody on schedule. Judy, how are you doing on time?
I'm going to have to cut out very soon.
Okay. Well, everybody.
But I wanted to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day again. And it's been a wonderful show and a great conversation. Love everybody on the call, and I love the woo-woo.
The woo-woo.
So, I didn't know. We're going to have to do a show called Woo-Woo, Big Blend Woo-Woo.
Yeah.
Like the woo-woo
train.
But everyone, travelingjudy.com is our website. And Judy, you just said again. And you know I used to say again all the time, and people used to laugh at me for saying again here in this country. And now that you just said that, it's going to start up again for me. I know. It's going to start getting in my psyche, and I'll start saying again. I know, because it's against the wind. It's not against the wind. It's against the wind. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But anyway, listen, have a wonderful rest of your Mother's Day, Judy. It's always
a
pleasure.
Thank you.
Happy
Mother's Day, Judy.
And then also,
Thank you,
Glenn.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shelley. How are you doing on time?
I'm doing good. I'm just going to be able to go in a minute.
Okay. Well, you just keep
us
posted.
Shelley.
Shelley's not allowed to leave.
Okay.
You're my favorite. That's okay, though. It's okay.
I thought
Who is this speaking?
Steve Schneikert. Steve Schneikert's our Hollywood historian. He's been on our show for years. And he knows everywhere we're going, when we're going, and when we arrive to make sure we arrive on time where we're supposed to be. Yeah, he's our go-to on that. Yeah. We call him from rest areas in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning. And he listens to our stories. And laughs at them because we watch people in rest areas. Anyway, but Glenn, how are you doing on time? How are you doing? I know you have to probably go. Or what's up with you on England time?
I can give you 5 minutes, but I'm really upset that I'm not Steve's favorite anymore. I'm really
I know
upset.
Steve. That's now Steve. What's up with that?
I thought, wow, that was pretty gutsy.
Yeah. Steve.
Steve's
caused a commotion. Well, he's an actor. He's a performer. He likes to do that, you know. But, see, Glenn, all of this family history is so important. Yeah. And I want to bring Angela back on because, Angela, you had something to say on that. And I cut you off to bring Steve on because he wanted to tell, you know, Shelley that, you know.
He missed her.
And Margo here too. And you haven't been on the show with Margo Carrera yet, I don't think. So I'm just saying, you don't know. You might have your favorite.
I
know.
No, I love Margo's artwork.
See?
Thank you.
Oh, she's getting points now. He's getting points.
Yeah. Everybody
has got points.
Favorite
and listen, Angela, you know Steve on Twitter because I always tag him on the photos I tweet to you guys on our pet sitting photos because he knows
he hasn't said that I'm his favorite either, so I think
Angela, you're one of my favorites. Of course you are. You ladies are my favorite, and Glenn is my number one man favorite.
Now you're just
Yeah,
oh, this is so funny.
I have one quick question for Glenn. And Glenn, it's a semi-serious question that all of us go back and we want to know and everything else. Have you noticed that now, today, with the advent of the internet and Google knows
You can say hell. You can say anything.
Google knows everything. And so people feel that, if they want to find anything, they just Google it. But have you noticed that sort of I don't want to say the younger generation, but I'm talking about, you know, those people now that are so into the internet, have they lost the desire to know more organically, or are they
searching online and they don't have these conversations, because I think that's so important.
Yes, I mean, a lot of people do just go on to Google, they go on to Ancestry or whatever, they find someone else's family history and they just think that's right, and it obviously isn't very often. But I find that that sort of goes for people who are more in their middle ages. I think young people are more savvy and they realize that that's not all true what they read on the internet.
And are they having the conversations?
Yes. I think the younger people are more likely to value their elderly relations more than probably people of my age, because obviously my parents have been around forever, so I'm probably not as likely to value them as much as my children who are in their 30s.
Yeah.
So, I think young people, if they are interested in history, are talking to older people.
Great.
They're probably recording it on their mobile phones, but that's actually lovely as well, isn't it? To actually have
absolutely.
A voice, you know.
Yeah.
I think younger people. And especially really younger children, I say younger children, you know, teenagers. A lot of teenagers now are doing this sort of thing in school, and they're being encouraged to talk to their older relations. So I think it's sort of it's being encouraged more to realise that history is on the doorstep. So I think that's good.
That's good.
If you know that you have ancestors and you realize that your ancestors must have done something somewhere at some time that and you're connected to it, then history becomes important. It's not important when the history teacher gives you a mimeograph, now you can tell my age, list of dates of what happened where, and it's boring.
What I do a lot, when especially when I go to my local primary school, is I like to make everything relative.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're really lucky in England that we can study every period in history, apart from the Greeks and the Egyptians. Well, we can even study the Egyptians because obviously Howard Carter, who came from Swaffham, discovered Tutankhamun. So we could even put a local spin on the Egyptians. But every other period of history can be studied within a few miles of most primary schools in England. So, you know, if you can bring it home to them. I mean, in Beatley, which is the village school where my children went to, even when we were talking about the Crimean War, which obviously happened in Eastern Europe in the 1850s, we brought that to Beatley because one of the men who's actually buried in Beatley Churchyard, his tombstone told us that he was in the Battle of Inkerman and the Battle of Alma and at the Siege of Sebastopol. So, you know, you can even bring the Crimean War to your local primary school by finding out who's in the graveyard. Yeah, you know, things like that, you know.
Oh, no. I love the graveyard. I'm going to do a whole thing on graveyards across America because we found all these historic people and noteworthy people that we didn't know were noteworthy people from graveyards, like the guy who started bandstand music and, you know, all these, I mean, just, it's amazing. Women actors, and they don't get their gravestones aren't that prominent. I'm just saying. And if they were actors, then they thought they were, you know, naughty women. But, you know, it's just really fascinating stuff. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us on our special Mother's Day show. Always good to have you on. And everyone, Glenn's article's up on blendradioandtv.com right now. You see family history on the homepage. Thank you for joining us. Keep up with Glenn at norfolk-tours.co.uk. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you. I shall now go and have a good cry because Stephen doesn't love me anymore.
He does.
I put that in there. I said you're the only male I love.
Hey. Oh, that's not true.
Didn't listen.
Oh, he is in
I'll,
so
I'll
much trouble.
I'll speak to you
trouble.
All very soon. I look
all
forward
right,
to
you
it.
You take
Thank
care,
you.
Glenn.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to play some music, and we've got another Steve joining us and a Karen joining us, and we've got some Hollywood history from Steve and some more music, and we're going to play a fun game. But
Shelly, if how are you doing on time? Keep me posted.
I'm okay. I will keep you posted. I might have to leave. I just need to check one thing with my grandson.
Okay, we're gonna play some music,
but
and Nancy needs more champagne because she's a mama. Angela, we're pouring you some more too.
And she's a beautiful mama.
I know. And Margo, you get some champagne too. And yeah, hoping one day we get to have some champagne with Margo in the garden because we need to do that. But stay tuned, everyone.
Cool.
Here it is. I'm gonna switch music up here. We're gonna play "Girl." And this song is by the Madisons. We want to wish Lizzie Harris from the Madisons, who's singing, a happy birthday. And they rock, the Madisons. This is from their album called Air on the Side of Love. And their website is madisonsmusic.com. Enjoy. Everyone, again, that was the Madisons. You can keep up with them at madisonsmusic.com. That was their song, Girl, from their album, Air on the Side of Love. You are listening to Big Blend Radio special, Champagne Sunday's Mother's Day Party. We've had all kinds of guests on our show, all awesome folks who have been on our show before, are part of our Big Blend family, and we have some new guests joining our party here. We had Steve Schneikert call in a little earlier. Steve Schneikert, our Hollywood historian. You're going to hear some of his Hollywood history at the end of the segment. And Steve, it's good to have you back, dude. What is your champagne toast?
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Happy Mother's Day, Nancy.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you got in trouble.
I said thank you for Nancy. See how that is as a daughter? See?
There you go.
I know.
Better than a goober.
I know. No, oh, okay. No. But, hey, what's...
Mine?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Me, Steve? Oh, okay. Well, my champagne
Yeah, we've got
toast,
another Steve coming
of
on.
Of course.
Making sure.
Right,
yeah.
That's why. So, okay. And I
other
love the
Steve
other
is
Steve.
Laughing.
I love the other Steve. He knows
already got the giggles.
Anyway.
Oh, there we go.
Anyway.
That's the silly side of the show now.
I have a champagne toast to my mom, Marve, my sister, Jill, up in heaven. Happy Mother's Day. Also, to my niece, Sarah Schneikert Morgan, who just recently lost her wife, Dr. Becky Morgan. And Sarah has a 19-year-old daughter. And between Sarah, who gave birth, and Dr. Becky, she has 2.5-year-old twins, Marlo and Fitzgerald. And her 19-year-old is named Jillian Marve, after my mom and sister, Marve and Jill. But last but not least, I want to give a toast to Hot Mama Babushka.
What I knew you would not forget. They're big
of
punishment you forget.
Oh, well done, Steve. That's well done, because he's not going to live it down. But listen, we've also got another two guests joining us. We've got Steve and Karen Wilson, Mr. and Mrs. Wild, I'm just saying. And we know they are. They are the innkeepers and owners of the Lion and the Road Bed and Breakfast. We had the pleasure of staying there last year in the summer. They're in Asheville, North Carolina, Beer City, USA. And we've had a wonderful time seeing them recently, just a few months ago when we were there in Asheville, pet sitting Luna, beautiful Luna, and the kittens, Kit Kat, you know, and Minnie while we were out there. And, you know, Steve and Karen are also pet parents, so I was just going to say, and they're awesome. They do a lot for veterans. They do a lot for wildlife and animals. They totally rock, so it is good to have them back on the show. I encourage you to go to their website, lion-rose.com. And I want to tell you, Nancy and I were just in Madison. We are in Madison now, but we went walking through a park, taking photographs, as you know we do. And we thought of you because as we were walking, we could hear lions roaring because it was a zoo next door. But while you're watching the boaters row their boat, we're thinking, guess who's going to get you, man? But and there's a lot of roses around here, too. So you got to, and they have great breweries. You'd appreciate it here. But let's welcome Karen first. Karen, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Did you have any mommies at the inn this morning?
We actually did. We had a mother and daughter in two different rooms this weekend for two different reasons. But it's nice when we have the mother-daughter thing, especially like Mother's Day.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how are you doing, Steve? Steve,
doing all right.
We'll just yeah, just call him Wild Steve and Hollywood History Steve.
There you go.
Hollywood Steve.
Yeah.
We're doing good.
Is.
We're kind of on another adventure right now. We're in Tennessee right now, and we're kind of out in the sticks, and we're having trouble getting into our Airbnb. They've got some sort of crazy electronic door lock, and now it went all haywire. So we're sitting in a school parking lot right now talking to you.
You're
going
to
see if we can find a signal.
Oh, my God.
Just get a hammer.
Okay.
We had to get on. We had to make sure we were here. So we did whatever we could to make sure we got it.
No, this is hysterical because you know how I love the door at your bed and breakfast when I lock myself out during a live radio show and couldn't get back in. You know? So this is like,
hey, Pat. When she locked herself off, I was like, oh, she locked herself out. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I get a chance to talk.
Oh, my gosh. So I just want to let you know we have other guests that have been following through on the party. We have Angela Laws. She is the community manager of Trusted House Sitters. Steve and Karen know all about our house sitting experiences. Welcome back on the show. You've been sitting in with us from Scotland all day. This is great. All show, I should say.
I have indeed, and it's a bit dry here because the bottle's downstairs and I'm upstairs. So I've had one champagne toast and that's it. But it's great to meet you, Steve and Karen. And I'm just the lion
and the other
road.
Steve.
Oh,
you
and the other Steve.
There's another Steve.
And, the
and
other
Angela,
Steve,
I loved how you say woo woo.
But it's great to be here and I'm sharing in Lisa and Nancy's pet sitting adventures and what we do and with Trusted House Sitters is amazing. So yeah, great to meet you, the Lion. And whereabouts is the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Look,
everyone
sure.
has to go to Asheville. Everyone needs to go
That's
to
so
Asheville. I'm telling you, it's one of the coolest cities on the
it
planet.
Is.
And we've discovered Madison is too. But Asheville, yeah. there's beer, there's dogs everywhere. It is like, mm-hmm. and same here, there's bicycles and dogs too. But Asheville, mm-hmm. dogs, I mean, the restaurants, I mean, it's insane. Like, good insane. Like, dogs, dogs
it's
and
dog
beer.
Dog city.
And nature.
Dogs, beer,
you got
nature,
mountains.
You name it.
Yeah, Smoky
is,
Mountains.
Is, you know what, we actually sort of, we've gone through 2020 and it was the worst year and everything else. But I think what has happened, and this is what we're seeing with our members and our community, is people are actually discovering their own backyards because they can't mm-hmm. get on a plane and fly international and go and travel international. They're actually staying at home and they're staying domestic. And they're discovering
True.
Places that they would never otherwise see. And it's just opening your eyes up to the fact that within your own space is just beauty and you know, sort of authentic travel
mm-hmm.
and slow travel. And you don't have to stand in sort of airports for 4 hours before you actually get onto that plane. So, yeah, it's amazing.
That's true. And I want to bring Margot Carrera back on here. Margot is an amazing nature photographer, fine artist as well. You can go to carrerafineartgallery.com. Margot sent us on a story mission to go to as many gardens and document gardens as possible. And we have a map, an interactive map that needs a lot of updating because we've done a ton, Margot. And I have to say, we're going to do a special edition book just on the gardens because we've probably
Wonderful.
Been to these
it's
50.
Too beautiful.
And speaking of Madison, we just did the Arboretum and the Botanical Gardens, which is amazing that they have them for free for the public. I think that's pretty amazing. Asheville, North Carolina has, of course, you guys have that big Biltmore Mansion thing going on, but we went to the Arboretum, and I want to say the Arboretum is truly incredible there. Margo, have you been to Asheville?
No, I haven't. It sounds wonderful. Sounds
well,
like a place on my to-do list.
Yes, let's go.
If you love nature, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, nature, Smoky Mountains, this is, you guys are in the backyard of elk country. You have elk and fireflies and everything.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
Looking forward to those fireflies later in a couple of weeks, actually. We're going to do one of those firefly tours in the evening.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
how cool.
Oh, I can't wait for photos.
Very
What is your Instagram? I love following you guys on Instagram. I love following Steve on Facebook because you guys just do a lot of beer hopping. I don't know. We ended up in a brewery at the same time the other day when we were in Costa Mesa. You guys were at a brewery. We're at a brewery. Like, what? It's not Wednesday.
Like,
we only meet on Wednesdays. What's going on? what's your Instagram? Because you guys put up so many amazing nature photos from Smoky Mountains and Blue Ridge Parkway, and just you really show off the natural beauty of what Asheville has. It's beautiful. What's your Instagram?
I believe it is just the Lion and the Rose.
Awesome. Okay. We have to do that. And Margo, what's yours? Yeah. Because you put up your work on there, and you do it on Facebook too. If everyone just types in Carrera Fine Art.
It's Margot, M-A-R-G-O-T, Carrera, C-A-R-R-E-R-A.
Okay.
That's my Instagram,
Yeah, it's awesome you follow Margot. And then, Angel, you guys post a lot of doggy pics. And Steve and Karen do, too, because they got little dogs that really are fun.
So, that's the core of what we, on our Instagram and on our Facebook, it's all about animals, it's all about pets. And, you know, who doesn't want to see a cute pet picture and a cute dog or whatever? Mm-hmm. But that's,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I have
a question for Margot. What is the secret of actually capturing an image of fireflies? Because I tried to do it once, and just failed miserably.
Oh, well, you need to change your ISO to around 2000, and then you need to do one of those fast shots where it will go really quickly. Sometimes you click, 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 click.
Right.
So that does the stop action. And the ISO makes it easier to, take the night photography. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. The shutter.
Thank you.
Or you
can just put a glass of wine out on the patio table and they drink it and they fly a lot slower. Or, yes.
Listen, fireflies over. Like the last couple of years is our first time seeing the fireflies, and it is like a truly magical experience. We saw some like that in Africa, but I don't know. I'm kind of tripping out of my brain. But Steve, what beer would you make for fireflies to come and hang out? take photographs.
To have them come hang out? Oh, yeah. Something heavy and dark, probably.
Yeah. What are you serving now?
We're still doing the wheat beer, but we also have an IPA on tap, and then we got a lager that's lagering, getting ready to be on tap soon too. Once we make some room for it.
Are you still doing the doggy bones for the Humane Society? Or have I got the right?
Yep,
thing?
We are going there this week actually.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm working on opening up like a Etsy store too, and I'm going to start selling them online. I think too, because a lot of the dogs like them.
I want to get them for my dog Bella.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve's been waiting for this. Steve Hollywood. Steve.
Yes.
But tell Angela, and I mean, our listeners need to know this, you make beer normally you go to bed and breakfast, they have sherry hour or wine time, but when you go to the bed, and this is so perfect because Steve's a home brewer, and then he's like, hello, here it is. I'm going to give you a beer when you check in.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's awesome. And it's a great introduction to Beer City USA. And so this is awesome. So you're actually using the spent grain from the beer making process to make the dog biscuits.
Wow. Yep, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Throw a little peanut butter in there, a little bacon grease, and it's a dog heaven.
Wow. Doggies like it.
Now
very calm.
Isn't that cool?
We'll have to share that.
All the dogs love them.
You guys offline and everything, so you see this. With Trust the House, it is. You guys do a lot on showcasing animal charities as well, something I've been following. It's like,
we do whatever we can.
Just for anybody that's out in San Diego, on May 22nd, Trusted House Sitters has got a rehoming event with the Animal Pad in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
We're matching adoption fees for the day, and we're donating $4,000 for the day.
That's wonderful.
We've got that, and then when we finish that at 3:00 in the afternoon, we're going to Second Chance Brewery. They're in San Diego as well, because they do a lot of rehoming and sort of charity events, and we're going and we're sponsoring that as well. So that's on May the 22nd, because it's National Rescue Day is on the 20th of May, but we've moved it
to
the Saturday so that, you know, more people can get there. But we're doing that sponsored event on May 22nd. So if anybody's in the San Diego area and you can get along to the Animal Pad, if I was there, if I wasn't in Scotland, I'd be there. But no, we're looking forward to it because shelters have had such a hard time in the last 18 months. All their fundraising has just gone out of the window. And so any help that we can give them, we will.
Awesome. Are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, we are. We're Trusted House.
Okay, if you can look me up on Facebook, I will send it out to all my San Diego friends.
Awesome. That's brilliant. That's amazing. Thank you.
I will connect you all. I will connect you all. And
okay.
And
yeah,
we have a huge...
I'd be happy to.
And we will, too, because that's our beginning of our magazine in San Diego. That's like a lot of our people are from there, so we'll make sure that gets out there, too.
Yeah.
You know,
awesome.
Yeah, San Diego. I mean, San Diego is a good dog town, too, man. Good about animals and horses, all of it.
There's
you know.
A lot of dogs in San
and beer. Hey, Steve, have you been to San Diego breweries?
I haven't been to any breweries, no. I haven't been to San Diego in ages.
Oh, my God.
I went to the zoo about 30 years ago.
We opened our magazine at the same time as Stone Brewery, and that was crazy, and that was when the brewery scene started up. Of course, you had Carl Strauss and everything, but that was when all the breweries were opening up in the industrial parks, and it was super cool, and now they're everywhere we go, and I'm like, San Diego's with me everywhere. It's awesome. San Diego is a special place, and Margo, you moved out of San Diego and moved right back there because you know it is. It's a special city, county. Special. You got the desert, mountains, beach, countryside. It is an amazing county. It really is. Okay, so Steve and Karen, Mr. and Mrs. Wild, we have to have your champagne toast, and then we have to go. So,
all right.
Steve, what is your champagne toast?
I guess I'll toast to all the mothers out there. Mine's not around anymore, but Karen's still there. Toast to all them for all they do for everybody and what they've turned us all into.
that's a good one. That's an interesting one. Now, if I was one of those that would sit you on a couch, that would be interesting. And you know, I wish we had more time.
Karen,
what is your toast?
I just want to toast to everyone, including all the mothers out there, just for happier days ahead, brighter future for everyone. Best wishes and cheers.
Well, thank you both for calling in your car in Tennessee. Where are you going in Tennessee? What are you up to?
Yeah.
Like, where? What's the scandal?
We are going to Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary Distillery. It is the
Alcatraz
of the East. It is now
cool.
A distillery.
I love this.
Penitentiary. Love
I
that.
I know.
Yeah, we got to get into our Airbnb first, though.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be
get a hammer.
Penitentiary.
Just get a hammer.
Yeah, I
don't want to be sleeping in the penitentiary.
Well, I understand about those. Sometimes those batteries don't work, and good luck with that.
Thanks
I'm just
going to
say, there's always got to be another thing other than digital, because sometimes the digital doesn't work when you're trying to get in, but Nancy's really good at, I don't know what, Nancy could be a good thief if she wanted to be. She is able to open any kind of weird lock or anything. If something's not opening, I call Nancy. I can open jars. She opens up weird coding stuff.
It's,
so
it's
I'm just
attention.
Saying, you know who's the brain.
The only thing
we need you, Nancy.
It's called attention to detail. You got to turn that thing over, back, side, front, push every button, pull on it, slap it around a bit, and try again, and then be gentle.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a good close
God,
to our
that
show.
That sounds familiar.
Good advice. All right.
All right. Listen, we're going to go. We're going to close off with Steve Schneikert's Hollywood History of Women Activists, because mothers come in all shapes and forms. And these are about women who stood up for issues like our water, our animals, you know, all kinds. We've got Silkwood, right? Steve, this Hollywood history is way from,
Aaron
from the vault. Erin
Brockovich.
I think of her every time we drive through Hinckley outside of Barstow.
Yeah.
And they're
dealing
with the same issue again. So I'm just going to say we got to fix our water in this country. Oopsie.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm just saying it's true. It's out there. It's when you see actively have been there and you look at the devastation of lack of water, it's terrible. There's wildlife refuges out there that are gone. People suffered from it. Look at Flint, Michigan. So you've got that. And we're going to play that now. And we're going to close with the song Picture Yourself by Nikki Criss from her album Heartbeat, because she's an awesome mom and we got to get her back on a show. It's been a while. So to do that, we want to thank everyone for joining us. Again, Angela Laws at Trusted House Sitters is trustedhousesitters.com. Y'all got to join if you're traveling or you're a pet parent or a homeowner, check it out. Also keep up with Margo at carrerafineartgallery.com. She really has amazing gifts for moms, dads, everyone who loves nature. Also, keep up with Steve and Karen at lion-rose.com. over in Asheville, North Carolina. Awesome bed and breakfast day. Watch for our new bed and breakfast book coming out, Bed and Breakfast Across America. Honestly, amazing, the stories that we got from that. It's also part of our brand new series called The American Story Project, because these are all incredible stories that we found from these bed and breakfasts and kind of spurred us into another whole other land of projects. You know, so thanks, Karen and Steve, for that.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Steve Schneikert, who has always just had so much joy with him over the years. And thanks for taking our calls in rest areas while we're drinking our wine and we're not supposed to.
Absolutely. I'll be there for you.
All right. Here it is. Some Hollywood history from Steve and then some music from Nikki Chris. Thank you all for joining us. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
and Nancy.
You.
Happy Mother's
you.
Day, Nancy.
Happy New Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Take care,
bye.
All of you.
Bye.
Steve,
bye.
I
Holiday.
Want your doggy cookies.
Bye.
Yeah, get on my bike.
Several movements have developed over the years. They vary in goals, strategies, and affiliation. They often overlap, and some identify themselves with several branches of thought. Accident or murder? Based on a true story, 1983 Silkwood, directed by Mike Nichols, begins and ends with Karen Silkwood, Meryl Streep, driving along a lonely road in 1974, heading to meet with a New York Times reporter to deliver evidence of negligence at the Kerr McGee plant in Cimarron, Oklahoma. The balance of the film flashes back to Karen's ribald private life with her lover, Kurt Russell, and her loose-living friends, Cher and Diana Scarwick. This is in contrast to her humdrum job at Kerr McGee, or at least it was humdrum, until Karen and several other employees became contaminated by radiation. The higher-ups want to sweep this incident under the rug, but Karen thinks that something is fishy and informs the union of that fact. X-rays of faulty fuel rods and written proof of the inadequate safety measures that caused Karen's illness are tampered with, forcing Karen to conduct her own private investigation. As she gathers evidence, Karen becomes a pariah to her boyfriend because of her obsession. She finally organizes the evidence into a briefcase and heads off to her meeting with the Times reporter. She never makes it. The official report on her fatal auto accident is that Ms. Silkwood had been drinking and was under the influence of tranquilizers. Kerr McGee was eventually forced to pay the Silkwood family an enormous settlement because of her contamination. The full facts behind her convenient accident have never been revealed, though the filmmakers clearly indicated whom they hold responsible. Aaron Brockovich, a 2000 biographical film directed by Steven Soderbergh. The film is a dramatization of the true story of Aaron Brockovich, portrayed by Oscar winner Julia Roberts, who, despite the lack of a formal education in the law, was instrumental in building a case against the corporation Pacific Gas and Electric Company, PG&E, of California in 1993. Directed by Martin Ritt and starring Oscar winner Sally Field, 1979's Norma Rae, based on the true story of Crystal Lee Sutton, a factory worker from a small town in North Carolina, who becomes involved in the labor union activities at the textile factory where she works. On a lighter note, que sera, sera, whatever will be, a shout-out to Doris Day. Since her retirement from the film industry in 1975, she has devoted much of her time as an animal rights advocate. I am Steve Schneikert, and this is Hollywood History as I Recall It.
Picture you.